Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of The Field from KAWC. I'm Lisa Sturgis. Nearly 24 hours after the polls closed, we still don't know with certainty who won the Republican race for governor. Carrie Lake says it's her, while everyone else says it's too close to call. We'll have the latest numbers. Plus, Katie Hobbs claimed clear victory last night. She's here to discuss her win, as is Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols. And our Victor Calderon puts his finger on the political pulse of the South County. Then we'll check in with election officials in both Yuma and La Paz counties. And we'll hear from the Democrat who hopes to run elections statewide. But first, let's get to the races. Carrie Lake this afternoon held a press conference to announce she's the winner of the Republican gubernatorial primary. With 97% of precincts reporting, Lake holds the lead against Karen Taylor-Robeson, 46% to 45%. They're separated by about 11,000 votes. Robeson has yet to concede, but Lake tells Capital Media Services she expects her to join the fold.
And we are family in this Republican Party. We don't maybe agree on every single thing, but I think we agree on the most important issues of the day. And I believe that Karen will come in because I know for a fact that Karen loves this state.
And less than 24 hours after the polls closed, she's already raising suspicions about the voting process.
I think if you looked at how last night and yesterday went down, you could see there were some very serious problems. The fact that in Pinal County, people showed up in 1 hour into the polls being open, they ran out of ballots. We've seen irregularities, we're monitoring things, and we will continue to report them to the officials.
Lake and Republican Representative Mark Fincham are currently involved in a lawsuit seeking to ban the use of machine ballot counts. They want to see every ballot counted by hand. Officials say that would draw out the election process for weeks. Robeson's campaign did not respond to a request for comment from KAWC. On the Democratic side of the ticket, current Secretary of State Katie Hobbs scored a clear victory Tuesday night, capturing 75% of the vote from opponent Marco Lopez. We spoke to Hobbs as she worked her first day as the official Democratic nominee. Arizona's Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, fresh off her victory as the Democratic nominee for governor, thanks so much for stopping by and talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So, how's it feel?
I am excited. Already at work to win this election in November. We've been focused on the general election for a few months now. I was expecting a decisive win last night, and am really happy with the results and incredibly proud of our team of staff and volunteers who got us here.
So it's still not clear who you're going to face in November. Although Carrie Lake did claim victory this afternoon, everyone else says it's still too close to call. Does it matter to you?
I am 100% confident in my ability to take on either one of these Republicans. It does look like it's going to be Carrie Lake if the current trends are hold. But I'm ready to take on either one of them.
I was having a conversation today with one of my colleagues, Howard Fisher from Capital Media Services, and he described Carrie Lake as a street fighter. Are you prepared to go up against a street fighter?
I am prepared to put my record of working across the aisle, getting things done for Arizonans during my time in the legislature as Secretary of State, and before that as a social worker. I'm absolutely prepared to go up against her with my record of getting things done for Arizonans, tackling the tough issues. She is centralized her entire campaign on what she claims to be the stolen 2020 election, and she's not offering any real solutions for any of the issues we're facing right now. She's going to try to paper over her extreme rhetoric, but I think Arizona voters are going to see right through that.
Yuma's South County is probably, it's a bastion of Democratic support here in Yuma, where northern Yuma County is very red. southern Yuma County is very, very blue. And your former opponent, former Nogales Mayor Marco Lopez, enjoyed a great deal of support down there. What are you going to do to win those folks over to Team Hobbs?
Well, I've been to Yuma several times. I'm going to continue visiting the county during the rest of this race. In fact, on Friday, we're kicking off our Solutions Can't Wait tour, and Yuma will be one of our first stops. So I'm not taking any vote for granted in this election, and know that we're going to continue to reach out to voters across the state so that we can win this election and start building a government that works for all Arizonans.
Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, thank you so much for your time and congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll keep you posted on the upcoming campaign stop Ms. Hobbs just mentioned. Keep listening to KAWC News. Let's take a quick look at some of the other races at the top of the ticket. It looks like Trump-endorsed Blake Masters is headed for a face-off with Democratic Senator Mark Kelly. Masters currently holds 35% of the GOP ballots. Republican Luis Pozzolo will challenge Congressman Raul Grijalva for his District 7 seat, while Representative Paul Gosar easily won his primary election to the 9th Congressional District. We'll have more results throughout the hour. Capital Media Services' Howard Fisher has seen a whole lot of elections covering the Arizona Capitol. He spent more than four decades with his fingers on Arizona's political pulse. Fisher's also a friend of the field, and today he lends his insights on the 2022 primary. You have witnessed a lot of primary elections in Arizona. What struck you about last night's election?
Well, there are a couple of things that stood out. Some of it was started to go wrong. For example, in Pinal County, many of the precincts simply ran out of ballots, which, of course, delayed a lot of the returns. And this was a strong area, for conservative Republicans. That changed a lot. There was even a fight over whether the use of felt-tip pens in some counties was causing bad results. And some folks who tried to say, you should bring your own blue ink pen to the polling places, even though election officials said that will smear inside the counting machine and will cause even greater problems.
Last Friday, we got the last OH Predictive Insights poll, and it gave Lake a substantial lead. So early on, you started to wonder if maybe the pollsters got it wrong.
Most of the polls did, in fact, show Kari Lake leading. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to buy that she was leading by, 18 points, which is what some of the polls said even at one point.
One poll was conducted by a pollster whose father is Lake's campaign manager. So, I don't know. To me, that puts a little bias on it ahead of time.
Well, many of the pollsters have their own particular biases, people they've worked for and candidates. We tend to look for the folks who not only appear to be neutral, but also have a record. I mean, one of the things about OH Predictive Insights is no matter what you believe about the methodology, they've been using the same methodology now, over the course not only of the campaign, but for years. And so while the exact numbers may not be accurate with what we eventually see, you can see the trend line. You can see what happened. I mean, look, let's look at the gubernatorial campaign. Karen Taylor Robeson was a businesswoman. Her husband runs Robeson Communities. Her only public knowledge was as a member of the State Board of Regents being appointed by Governor Doug Ducey. But she was a virtual unknown. And she ended up having to put in a lot of money. Well, $18 million was total. $15 million was her own money.
Right.
It must be nice to have $15 million that you can put in of your own money to gain the name ID. But to a certain extent, that's exactly what it took. Kari Lake had been a TV newsreader on a Fox affiliate in the Phoenix area for 20 years. She was in people's living rooms, you know, in their dining rooms, and she had the name ID. She also had the benefit of being fairly polished. You know, when you're a news anchor, you've got certain skills in terms of getting your message across. So, you know, Robeson had no choice but to spend the money. Trump endorsement certainly has meant something. I mean, look at some of the other races that were being decided on Tuesday. You know, Mark Fincham, who is an election denier, apparently will be the Republican nominee for the Secretary of State. Blake Masters, who is a venture capitalist who got Trump's endorsement, will be the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate to face off against Mark Kelly. You know, you've got some other Trump-endorsed candidates who did very well. I mean, even at the legislative level, you have David Farnsworth, who effectively ousted the House Speaker, Rusty Bowers, who was trying to move to the Senate. The former president was angry at Bowers for, A, not allowing the House to conduct the same kind of audit that the Senate did, and, B, then for Bowers testifying at the January 6th committee about the efforts by Trump and his associates and the threats to get him to not certify the 2020 election.
The former president did tweet out this morning his apparent pleasure in Rusty Bowers' defeat.
Oh, definitely. You know, you've got, you know, issues there where, you know, Trump has decided that he is going to be the kingmaker. Now, what this portends for a 2024 race for Trump, you know, hard to say. You know, I believe that he believes he could become president again. But there are those in the party who say that he, while he has influence, that he's been, you know, sort of personally damaged by everything that's come out of the January 6th committee. And it may make a big difference.
I really want to talk about the Trump factor, because we, you know, Lake got the Trump endorsement, and then Vice President Mike Pence announced that he was backing Karen Taylor Robeson, and it seemed like a line got drawn in the desert sand here in Arizona.
Oh, that line got drawn in early January of 2021 when Pence told Trump, no, I don't have the power to overturn the election results. No, I don't have the authority to say that the results are not the results. And Trump said, you know, according to, you know, a lot of what came out at the January 6th hearings, well, you're not my friend anymore.
We'll continue our conversation with Howard a little later in the show. Municipal elections were an important part of Tuesday's primary. Yuma, San Luis, and Somerton all re-elected mayors and city councils. Somerton Mayor Gerardo Anaya ran unopposed and easily won re-election. But it's not looking so good for San Luis incumbent Mayor Gerardo Sanchez. He's trailing former Mayor Nieves Riddle in his race for re-election. KAWC's Victor Calderon speaks to both candidates.
I think this time is going to be less. The thing is that you saw more people participating in person. Okay? And I'm happy about that. We really motivated people to come out in person and vote. And if it was my choice, I think people should go to the good old days. Let's go and vote. Let's forget about these ballots by the mail. Because people get complacent. And I like to see people coming and voting in person. The good old-fashioned way, I think we should go back to that. But I know it's wishful thinking. It's never going to happen.
So you challenged Mayor Sanchez, and then there's 9 candidates for 3 seats. And so if it's a combination of new faces and current council members or people that have worked for the city of San Luis before, how do you think everyone can work together? You kind of touched on that, but just talk about how, you know, if it's, you know, a mix of candidates that's elected tonight, how will that help San Luis move forward?
I think the more different people participate and different people will be sitting in council, I pray for that. Everybody will bring something to the table. It's not a good mix when it's, you have people that thinks like you, acts like you, and they're always in agreement with you. You have to have people that are willing to have their own opinions and to voice their concerns and be able to work with everybody. And at the end of the day, we're still friends and we're still a family.
And in closing, is there anything else you would like to say about San Luis and where it goes from here?
Where are we going to go from here? We're going to keep growing. Now that this thing that is, we've been making the news, that is very unfair to San Luis about voter fraud and a few bad apples that had earned that distinction to the city of San Luis. Hopefully with this election, we change that. Because the city of San Luis is, it's a city of San Luis, is a nice city to live in. Most of the people are hardworking people, friendly. You get to know almost everybody. And we're the fastest growing city on the state of Arizona. And when the news media gets involved in San Luis, it's when there's something negative. But look at all the things that we had accomplished. And people should give us that credit. We're not all bad people, okay? Just because few people are bad doesn't mean that the rest of us are dishonest or criminals. It's just like they need to look at us in San Luis like a decent place to live and raise your family.
All right, Nieves Raidel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was mayoral challenger Nieves Raidel. I also spoke with Mayor Gerardo Sanchez about what San Luis elected officials need to continue to focus on, whether he's at the helm or not.
First and foremost, we have to finish the Port Aventure 1. We have to do Cesar Chavez. We have to do Cesar Chavez Boulevard. We have to continue working with our sister city, San Leonardo Colorado. We have to continue working with the city of Yuma, with Yuma County and Somerton. We need to bring more businesses. We need to bring more jobs. Everyone's competing for jobs, but we have so much to give. Yuma County as a whole, we need to work together and actually look for good employment for our residents, not only for the city, of San Luis, but for everyone else. We live in a great, great country. We live in a great state, and we live in a great county. So there's a lot of work to be continued, and so I'm glad.
Could you talk about the view some people from outside of San Luis have of Yuma County and San Luis? You know, the issue of the ballot harvesting came up. Just what are your thoughts on that, and what are your thoughts on elections here in San Luis and in Yuma County?
I can tell you right now, there's a lot of hype that was introduced to this, the harvesting. And the thing is, it's sad that people will try to tarnish the image of San Luis. Perfect example today. Look at the ballots. Look at what's going on right now. People want to blame you for things that people did in the past. You can't do that. We believe in clean elections. I believe in clean elections. I believe no one should force you. And no one should force you to give them their ballots. That's just uncalled for. I've never done it. I never will. And people have been trying. The other side have been trying to link me to it. And I just tell them, prove it. Please prove it. Seriously. Because you get tired of it. Do your job. Do your campaign. So that's why they go dirty and they go under the belt and they try to do anything. No, it's not fair. Just because of a few doesn't mean we all do it. I can tell you right now, I believe in the election process. I believe in absentee ballots. I believe in going to vote. I've been voting since the age of 18. So I believe in the American dream. I believe it's the American way to do things. And the thing is, and for people to tell me differently, just because someone from a different party, really? No, it's not fair.
All right, thank you so much, Mayor Gerardo Sanchez.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Thank you.
You're listening to The Field from KAWC. I'm Lisa Sturgis. Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols secured victory with more than 60% of the ballots in last night's municipal elections. We talked about his win and what comes next. Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols joining us fresh off his re-election to his third term. Congratulations, Mayor. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
So, how does it feel?
Well, it's more of a relief that we're done with the election process from the mayor's seat, because it's just a lot of work to make sure that you're out doing all the things you're supposed to do for an election, as well as do all the things you're supposed to do for the regular position and then everything else in life. So it's a relief that we're at conclusion, and it's nice that you get some reaffirmation from the people of Yuma that apparently like what I've been doing for the last 7-9 years to want to have me continue to do it.
So what's job one, or is it just back to business as usual, back to getting the job done?
Well, we were in the middle of launching a few things, so it's a matter, you know, trying to keep those things, get those things moving. And they have been moving, but a little bit slower just because of the time constraint. So now we're on to, looking to see what we can do with that. Strategic initiatives on economic development, our focused study on that, and bringing the spaceport online, and just a lot of those kind of initiatives.
However, there's still a question. We do not have a city council seated. So what's the next step on that?
Well, the candidates will get reduced, so there's only 2 candidates per open seat. So it looks at this point the 6 of the 7 will be moving on. And they'll do their campaigning and outreach to the citizens. And in November, we'll have 3 of the top vote getters be on council or back on council, depending upon how it all goes.
There's no term limit in Yuma, Mayor. Are you thinking 4 more years down the road?
I'm thinking I've got 4 years to take care of first before I think of anything else.
Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Last night was Yuma County's first since the departure of its longtime recorder. However, the new recorder was in place, and the longtime election director was also at her post. We checked in with Tiffany Anderson for a snapshot on the night of voting.
We did great. It was a very successful primary election here in Yuma County.
What was voter turnout like?
In-person voter turnout was higher than expected. However, our totals for now are hovering right about 20 to 21% voter turnout, which is very consistent with our historical voter turnout for primary elections.
Any reports of problems? I heard in Pinal County, they ran out of ballots at one polling place.
Fortunately for Pinal County, I'm so sad to hear that. Here in Yuma County, we didn't have any major hiccups. Of course, it's election day. Things always come up, but they were resolved immediately, and we moved on with our day.
We did see results fairly quickly, but there is some tabulating going on. Can we expect to see another update in the numbers today?
No, we will not have updated numbers today. We are busy verifying the early and late early ballots that were received yesterday, as well as provisional ballots. Those individuals who had to vote a provisional ballot because there was something that wasn't matching on their voter registration record. We're hoping to publish our next set of results by close of business on Friday.
And there is a way, if you want to check your ballot,
you can go to my.arizona.vote to confirm that your early ballot has been accepted by our office.
La Paz County reports seeing fairly low voter turnout, but otherwise, election manager Bob Bartelsmeyer saw few problems. He tells KAWC's Chris McDaniel most of the critical counting is almost done.
Less than 20% of eligible voters in La Paz County cast a ballot in Tuesday's primary. That was down from an average of about 30% for most midterm election years, says Bob Bartelsmeyer, county election manager. Bartelsmeyer told KAWC he does not know why voters were so apathetic this season.
Well, I'm not sure. The publicity was out there.
The unofficial final tally was released at 10 p.m. Tuesday. It looks like Marcus Kelly has secured the Superior Court judge seat that was up for grabs for the Republican ticket. However, that could change as some of the outstanding ballots are processed, Bartels Meyer said.
I'm going to release those to the state on Monday the 8th. We should be done with counting on Friday.
All other races are likely ready to be called. Tiffany Dyer edged out Karen Slaughter for Justice of the Peace. Holly Lucas ran unopposed for Clerk of the Superior Court. Marion Shantz, Erica Daniels, and Dusty Waddell edged out Josh Phillips for three open Parker Town Council seats. There were six Republicans seeking nominations for two seats in newly created Legislative District 30. Incumbent Leo Biasucci won with 45.3% of votes cast, while John Gillette came in second with 17.9%. Incumbent Regina Cobb could not be reelected as she has reached her term limit. No Democrats from Legislative District 30 filed for the House seat. Republican Sonny Borelli, state senator for Legislative District 30, is running unopposed. Overall, things went pretty well in La Paz County.
We had site support from our vendor, ES&S, out of Omaha, Nebraska, and the gentleman has been doing this for 20 years, and he indicated that he thought that we had done very smooth and great job.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I am Chris McDaniel.
We'll be checking back with both Tiffany and Bob as we move closer to the November 8th general election, and we'll get the latest results posted to our website as soon as we get them. Just keep visiting kawc.org. If you look at election results on the Arizona Secretary of State's page, they look pretty different from those on Yuma County's page. That's because one only tracks the local ballots, the other tracks them all. KAWC's Lou Gum noticed the disparity, so he decided to examine what state leadership would look like if Yuma County had its say.
As of airtime, Blake Masters, the Trump-endorsed venture capitalist, was over 10 points ahead of businessman Jim Lehman in the Republican race for the U.S. Senate statewide. While Masters also wins by the numbers in Yuma County, his lead here is only about 0.5%, less than 100 votes. Other candidates, former Adjutant General to the Arizona National Guard Mick McGuire and Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, also fared a bit better percentage-wise in Yuma County versus statewide, each up 3 or more percentage points in county versus state numbers. Arizona Corporation Commissioner Justin Olson saw a much smaller increase of less than a point in his Yuma County percentages. Democrat and incumbent Senator Mark Kelly ran unopposed in the primary. In the race for Arizona governor, the margin between top Republican candidates, former news anchor Carrie Lake and former member of the Arizona Board of Regents Karen Taylor Robeson, is much wider in Yuma County versus statewide. As of airtime, they were split 46.2 to 44.5% with Lake in the lead. In Yuma County, Lake leads Robeson 47.7 to 40%. On the Democratic side, former Nogales Mayor Marco Lopez ran a tighter race against Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs in Yuma County than he did statewide, according to results available Wednesday. As of airtime, Hobbs was up a massive 72.8 to 22.2% statewide over Lopez, but in Yuma County, she leads Lopez by less than 5 points, 48.6 to 40%. Yuma County Democrats were also much more decisive in their choice for Arizona Secretary of State, favoring former Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes over State Representative Reginald Boulding, 61.6 to 38.3%. Statewide numbers are tighter, with Fontes leading 52.8 to 47.2%. On the Republican side, State Representative and 2020 election denier Mark Fincham received 46.2% of the vote in Yuma County versus 40.1% statewide. His nearest competitor, businessman Bo Lane, was at 24.5% statewide and just under 23% here in Yuma County. Finally, in the race for Arizona Attorney General, while former Corporation Commissioner and Democrat Chris Mays ran unopposed on the Democratic side, former Arizona Supreme Court Justice and Yuma County Superior Court Judge Andrew Gould would be Mays' general election challenger if Yuma County voters had their way. Trump-endorsed U.S. Army reservist Abe Hamadeh looks to have won statewide with 32.1% of the vote in a crowded field that saw his closest competitor, Attorney Rodney Glassman, receive 23.8% of the vote. Gould ran third with just over 17% 10% statewide. But here in Yuma County, Gould led Hamadeh among Republican voters 38.6 to 26.8%. Glassman comes in third at 16.2%. There's no accounting for hometown pride. Reporting for The Field from KAWC, I'm Lou Gum.
And we'll do another one of these comparisons in November. I'm Lisa Sturgis, and this is The Field from KAWC. It looks like Army National Guard Intelligence Officer Abe Hamadeh will go on to win the Republican primary for Arizona Attorney General. He leads the pack with 32%. Rodney Glassman's in second with nearly 24%. Hamadeh faces Democrat Chris Mays in November. Incumbent Treasurer Kimberly Yee takes her primary with 56% of the vote. She goes on to face State Representative Martin Cazada in the general election. Representative Mark Finchem currently holds the lead in the Republican primary for Arizona Secretary of State. Finchem scored the coveted Trump endorsement because he's never surrendered his belief that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. His presumed Democratic opponent, Adrian Fontes, served as Maricopa County Recorder while Finchem led efforts to overturn the county's results. Fontes shared today he has some definite feelings about his opponent and his beliefs. So at this stage of the game, you have a considerable lead over your Democratic opponent, House Minority Leader Reginald Boulding. Are you feeling pretty good right now?
Admittedly, yes. We're in a very good spot. We got a lot of support from a lot of folks, including a good number of folks down in Yuma County. And I'm excited about where we're at, but we are going to let the process play out. And we're just going to patiently wait until the results come in and the race gets called before we pop any champagne bottles.
At this stage of the game, it looks like the odds are in your favor of taking the Democratic nomination. It also looks like Representative Mark Finchem will take the Republican nomination. You were the Maricopa County Recorder during the 2020 election, and Finchem continues to be one of the most vocal election deniers. What's it going to be like facing him in a campaign?
Well, Mark Finchem is going to have to explain why he hates America, because there's no other reason for someone to be spouting off sort of the lies and conspiracy theories that he has the way he has. He must hate America. He must hate the Americans who ran that election. Because there's no other logical explanation. So I think that's going to be the number one theme in the campaign. And we're certainly going to ask that question.
On the first day that you're officially the Democratic nominee, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is probably hug my daughters because they've had to suffer having dad run through this whole thing and they're teenagers. So it's been a little rough for them, and thank my family and friends, and I'll probably go have a steak and a beer, and then we're going to get to work.
Fontes is passionate about voting rights and about the election process, but it's not a view everyone shares. KAWC's Chris McDaniel recently encountered two young people who expressed apathy for elections and shared doubts that their votes would actually count.
I spoke to two eligible voters at a polling facility in Yuma County just before lunch. One was registered to vote, while the other could, but had not. They were both highly cynical about the voting process and of politicians. Yasmin Gonzalez, 23, of Yuma, and a registered voter, was planning on casting her ballot later in the afternoon. She said she was not familiar with the politicians in the race, nor the issues they championed.
If I'm being honest, I don't really, like, look that stuff up. I kind of just, like, asked my dad, because I trust in, like, how he thinks, and I think very similar to how he thinks.
Yasmin said, for 20-somethings, there are often other concerns in life that take precedence over voting, especially because she does not trust the narrative politicians push.
I feel like politicians just, like, are for the money, and they want people to donate and all those things. That's just how my vision on politics is, and that's why I don't really listen to it.
Ernie Garza, 22, of Yuma, is eligible to vote, but has not yet registered. This would have been his first time voting, he said, but he doesn't feel his vote would mean anything.
I just feel like my vote wouldn't really matter.
Garza said he does intend to vote in future elections once he learns more about political issues facing his generation and all Americans. For KAWC News in Yuma, I am Chris McDaniel.
Jesus Lugo is one young voter who's anything but apathetic. Lugo first started taking an active interest in his community as a child. Now, as a young man, he's a social worker, community activist, and now, unofficially, a newly elected representative to the U.S. House of Representatives. We spoke to him about his win.
I would also like to fight for women's rights. You know, I think that's very important, too. And I also would like to, you know, at least work with Republicans to make a school safety very important for me, too, and public education.
So you are from down in the South County. You live down in the South County. Would you describe yourself as a community activist?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so I've been involved in the community in Gadsden, Arizona, Salinas, Arizona, and Somerton, Arizona, since I was like 17 years old. I was the leader of a nonprofit organization, so I always advocated for minorities and have a lot of compassion and a lot of empathy. So my passion is to help people in need and try to make people have a better life.
How is that connection to the community going to help you when you become a state representative?
I care a lot about the people, and my goal and my passion is to see every person in my community have the tools necessary to be successful. You know, as a social worker, that's what I do day by day. I always try to provide people with resources, with counseling, so they could be successful in life.
What was it like when you realized you were going to the state legislature?
You know, I'm a very, I have a lot of faith in God. I'm also a very ambitious person. So when I got into the race, I knew that I was going to win. But I'm very happy, you know. I knew this result was gonna come sooner or later.
Jesus Lugo, about to be representative for District 23. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Lugo would serve his term with Goodyear paralegal Mariana Sandoval, also a Democrat. The sole Republican in the race had to leave after it was determined he did not have enough valid signatures on his nominating petition to qualify. I'm Lisa Sturgis. You're listening to The Field from KAWC. Let's take another look at some of the numbers from last night. Republican Gary Snyder will face Democrat Brian Fernandez in the race for the District 23 seat in the state Senate. Neither faced a contender in their respective primaries. Senator Sina Kerr retains her District 25 seat. She ran unopposed. Jesus Lugo and Mariana Sandoval will both serve in the House for District 23. Representative Tim Dunn wins re-election to his District 25 seat, but it looks like Joel John has lost his to challenger Michael Carbone. And finally tonight, only time will tell what will happen when voters head to the polls in November. But we sure do enjoy gazing into our crystal balls. We sit down with Howard Fisher one more time for a little political prognostication. Congressman Paul Gosar won re-election easily. Nobody even came close to him. And he has emerged as kind of can we call him a controversial figure?
Oh, I think we left controversial 2 years ago. You know, I mean, this is a guy, for example, who said that as a dentist, I can tell by looking in people's mouths when people are telling the truth. I don't even know how you explain that. You know, he and, you know, fellow Republican Congressman Andy Biggs, who also won his primary, are part of a fringe within the Republican Party. I mean, you've got situations where people are voting for some very basic consensus bills, and it's Gosar and Biggs, who are out on the fringe there, you know, maybe among 11 Republicans in the entire 435-member House.
And Paul Gosar doesn't face a Democratic challenger.
No, he's been reelected at this point. I mean, there's just no way for anybody else to come in. I don't even think do a write-in campaign this late.
Raul Grijalva faces a challenger in the form of a Luis Pozzolo. Do you think Grijalva has anything to worry about?
Grijalva has consistently defeated all comers. Remember, this is a heavily, heavily Democratic district. Taking, you know, when it was redrawn, even this past year, it took in the parts of Yuma that were largely Hispanic and largely Democratic. It's designed to be a safe Democratic district, particularly what they call majority-minority district, where Hispanics can elect who they want. So I think, you know, absent some bizarre allegations against Grijalva, I don't see how he can be defeated. I mean, look, this is a guy who faced charges of being a drunk at the Capitol, and charges he denied, but none of it stuck. So I think he's going back for another 2 years. You know, he's the chairman of a House committee, which gives him a certain amount of power. He's got very high name ID. I don't see any reason that he would be defeated, again, barring some really unusual disclosure.
He's kind of interesting to me because Raul Grijalva was progressive before progressive was really a thing. And he's always done so well in Arizona, even at the times when it's been its brightest red.
He's a survivor. You know, he is perhaps the polar opposite of Paul Gosar. So Arizonans have strong feelings on both sides of the equation.
Let's kind of look down the horizon a little bit. Maybe Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. What kind of a contest would that shape up to be?
This is interesting because if, in fact, there's a debate, you know, Katie did not want to engage in any debates with Marco Lopez, who was a former mayor in Nogales. Now, however, she's actually going to be in a position where she has to answer the allegations and all the stuff that Carrie Lake has leveled. She's got the fact that there was a federal court verdict against the Senate by a former Democratic Senate staffer who accused her of racial discrimination. And we know that Carrie has already brought that up and hoping to damage her among certain groups of voters. The other fact is, let's look what happens in the debate. You know, Carrie is a street fighter, gloves off kind of person.
Carrie's a street fighter, and it would appear that Katie has a glass jaw.
That may be true in terms of the glass jaw, but it also is you have to have some chops. You have to be able to deliver some punches of your own. And I'm sure while Katie will be busy saying, do we need a Trump clone, you know, heading Arizona, that in and of itself may not be enough.
Trump-endorsed Blake Masters will face Democrat Mark Kelly for the U.S. Senate this fall. What do we think?
Well, let's put it this way. There's going to be a lot of money spent. Kelly, who got elected part of the term that was originally being served by John McCain, already has been all over the airwaves trying to say, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am a problem solver. He has collected more than $51 million and even now still has more than $25 million on hand. So the Democrats will be spending big. And remember, what's at stake here is the control of the U.S. Senate. It's a 50-50 Senate, and the only thing that gives the Democrats control is Vice President Kamala Harris. So look for a lot of national money to be pouring in. Masters got a lot of his money to win the race from tech giant Peter Thiel, who's also the founder of PayPal. Given that 50-50 Senate, given that there are only a few opportunities for Republicans to take back control. So look for this to get into, you know, 100, 150 million, 200 million spending on this race.
and we will look forward to more visits from Howard as we move toward the general election. We'll be back next week with more political insights and conversations about the issues that matter most at the ballot box. Today's show truly was a team effort, and I'd like to thank every single member of our team. News director Lou Gum, reporter Victor Calderon, host and reporter Chris McDaniel, and our essential IT all-around engineering guy, Anthony Ornelas. I couldn't do this job without you, so thank you so much. The Field is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Send your questions or comments to me, lisa.sturgis@kawc.org. Our theme music was composed by Steve Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. For more information on their music, visit yumajazz.com. Thanks so much for listening to The Field. Remember, you can always hear the show at kawc.org, on the KAWC app, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Lisa Sturgis. I hope to see you here again next week. Till then, keep yourself informed.